I want to preach this morning with this thought in mind from verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. I want to preach this morning for a few moments on beckoned by the King. Beckoned by the King. I thought about that song this morning as I was meditating upon another passage of scripture for the message, and I couldn't seem to get that song off my heart that the ladies' chorus sings. I may let them sing that during the close and the invitation this morning, being beckoned by the King. The invitation that is extended this morning to you and I from Isaiah 1 and verse number 18. May I say that Isaiah is a great book in the Word of God. It's been considered the Bible in a book. It has 66 chapters, and much like the canon of Scripture that we have, is divided in 39 chapters. The first part of Isaiah, or the first 39 chapters, deals with the sin of the nation of Israel and their rebellion against God and their stiff neck and how they turned their face and their back away from the law of God that God had given to Israel. And then the latter part of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53, in the last 27 chapters, unveil unto us, like the New Testament does, the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And so Isaiah is one of the greatest books in the Bible because it portrays to us the entire mind of God that we see in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 53, without question, is the Bible in a chapter. As we see the sympathizing Savior, the Son of God, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, a man that was willing to come to this earth and take on the robe of flesh, take on, amen, the entire aspect of humanity and walk among us, amen, and go to Calvary and bleed and die there for the sins of mankind. May I say to you this morning, before the invitation can be a reality in your life, you're going to have to understand something about the one who is giving the invitation, amen, and that is the Lord. Thus saith the Lord in verse number 18, come now, let us reason together. Let me say, first of all, I want to talk to you about the word come that we see in verse number 18. I want you to notice the invitation that is extended here in this verse. Have you ever had that invitation? Have you ever been beckoned by the King? No man can be saved, amen, in this life. No man can experience what we know in the Word of God as New Testament salvation, amen, of his own. He can't conjure, or he cannot, amen, manipulate his mind or do anything within his own heart and his own life to have a desire for God, because no man seeketh after God. The human aspect of man and the natural mind has never reached out for God, but God has always made the initiative, amen. He came to this earth. That was the initiative of God, amen. When Adam had sinned and fallen in the garden, Adam wasn't looking for God. Oh no, friend, Adam was hiding from the Lord. Adam was trying to find a place to get away from the presence of God. He heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day, and it rang out in that garden that morning. Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? And Adam knew exactly where he was at, and God knew exactly where he was at. But the only hope that Adam had was if God would make the initiative to come and speak to Adam and draw him unto himself and give him the great invitation, like as it is extended here in verse number 18. He says, come now and let us reason together. Have you ever had that invitation given to you this morning? Have you ever been beckoned by the King? I want you to notice there's several things that we must consider when we look at this invitation. There is a want. There is this word want that must come into our vocabulary. Somebody is wanting something here in this word come. For the Lord to speak to you this morning and to reach out and extend his hand of mercy and grace, he's got to want you, amen. And I'm glad that I can say to you this morning that the Lord Jesus desires, amen, to reach out to where you're at. You may be here lost and undone without the Lord Jesus. You can say, preacher, I'm not a Christian. I don't know the Lord. I'm not saved by the grace of God. Well, I submit to you the invitation is extended to you today. And I mean, I'm sure that you've had invitations and been able to go different places and meet different people. But this morning, there's never been a greater invitation than that has been portrayed or given here in verse number 18, where the Lord says, come now and let us reason together. There is a want. The Lord Jesus desires to save you. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you're under the sound of my voice this morning and you're not saved by the grace of God, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus died on Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago. It's an old story, but it still stirs my heart and still works in my soul. But he walked up Golgotha's hill and he laid his life down. No man took his life from him. He freely laid his life down, and there when he laid his life down, they nailed him to the cross and he shed his blood to provide the forgiveness that you and I so desperately need this morning. And he put his body to death. He gave up the ghost. No man took his life from him, but he freely gave it, and he gave up the ghost that day, and he made the payment for sin that humans in this world could never pay. Jesus made that payment. And he done that for one reason, and for one reason alone, and that is he wanted to save you. Amen. Mankind lives in this world rejecting the Lord. They live in this world as we know it, without God, hopeless, and without peace, knowing nothing of fulfillment and joy. But I'm glad this morning when it broke on into my soul that there was a Savior, there was a God in heaven that loved me enough to pay the sin debt that I could not pay. Amen. That same God, that same Lord Jesus extended this great invitation to me and said, come. And the reason he did is because he wanted me. You realize that today, that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to save you more than you can ever imagine in your mind this morning. The Lord wants to save you. Say, preacher, I don't know if I want to be a Christian. It makes no difference what you want. I'm telling you, in the midst of your rejection, Jesus still died and still paid the price because he desires to work in your life. But then, not only is there a want, but there's a will. In this word, come now, this phrase, there is a will. No one would extend an invitation for you to come to their home or be a part of their fellowship or enjoy a time of company without having a will that's exercised. And we know this morning that the Lord Jesus, when he came to this earth, before he was ever really introduced in the earthly ministry with the miracles that he would perform after the baptism of John, the Lord was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And I promise you, the devil did everything that he possibly could do to keep the Son of God, are you listening, from fulfilling the will of his Father. How many times do we read in the New Testament when the Lord would be teaching the Word of God, there would be an upheaval, there would be a myriad of people, and they would seem to get restless and agitated and irritated at the words of the Lord, and he would have to slip out from among them. They would desire to take his life, but his hour had not yet come. Then there was a time when his hour had come and he would give his life for the souls of man. But I'm glad that in this invitation there's a will. Not only does God want to save you, but God's willing to save you today. Amen. I mean, you know, you may want to be a rocket scientist, but you just can't. Amen. Amen. You may, there's a lot of things I want to do, but at my age, at 52, and my broken down body and aching joints, I just can't do it. Are you listening today? There's a lot of things that I want to do, but I can't do it. But I'm glad that when Jesus extends the invitation for you to come, he not only wants to save you, but he's willing to save you. And in that will, there is an ability. Christ can save you today. Say, preacher, I don't want to die without the Lord and face God's judgment. I want to have the fulfillment and the joy that you preach about, that I can know and I can have a promise of hope beyond this life in eternity. Preacher, I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to know that I have peace in my heart. I'm telling you this morning, the Lord is able to save you. I'm scared, preacher. I'm afraid it won't work. It's not something that works. The work has already been done. Jesus died on the cross, and he has provided salvation to all that believe. Repent and come to him. This word come, gives us an understanding, a knowledge of what the Lord wants. Listen to me now. I need you to listen to me. I don't know what your husband wants you to do. I don't know what your wife wants out of you. I don't know the expectations that your children may have. I don't know this morning what the world and the job force, the vocation that you're in, that you're involved in, or the social structure of your community. I don't know what they demand of you, and I don't know what they want or expect of you. But I know this morning, beyond anything you can imagine, there is a thirst and a desire in heaven. God this morning wants to save you. Do you understand that? You need to understand that this morning. The Lord wants to save you. And then he is willing to save you. But you see, in this invitation, it's not just one-sided. In the redemption and all that is provided by the Lord in this word, come unto me. Come now. In that phrase, there is the responsibility of the person who the invitation is extended toward. Come. There's want, there's will, but then there are those that seem to wait. But the Lord says in the first two words of Isaiah 18, he says, come. And he says, come now. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. How many times have you put it off? How often have you said, Lord, it's going to embarrass me, or maybe it's going to embarrass my family? How many times have you said, no, maybe some other time? Many men in the Word of God pushed the gospel aside. Many in the Word of God in the New Testament said, well, maybe when things are better, I'll try to get saved. I have no intentions of living all of my life lost and not saved by the grace of God. I have no intentions of just going down the complete path of life and dying without the Lord. Felix said, Agrippa both said, one of them said, come to me in a more convenient season. And then one of them said, Agrippa said, thou almost persuadeth me to be a Christian. But as far as we know in the account of the Word of God and in history books, there is no account whatsoever that either of those men ever gave their heart to God. How many times was the sop extended and the grace of God extended to Judas, yet Judas would betray the Lord? He wasn't predetermined before the foundation of the world to betray Jesus. He rejected the Christ that God had given to the world. Come now. Now's the time to be saved. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not when I get my wife in order. I'm trying to do this, preacher. And once I get everything situated, once I get everything fixed, that I'm going to get saved, that I'm going to be a good Christian. It's not going to happen that way. The invitation involves an urgency. It involves an intense time. Now's the time to be saved. Don't wait another moment. The word come is seen in our text. Then secondly, he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Not only the word come, the phrase come now, but I want to talk to you about this reasoning together. I want to talk to you about once this extended invitation is accepted, that there is a means of communication that then takes place. He says, when you come, we're going to reason together. He says that there is going to have to be an understanding. There must be some things understood in this conversation, this communication that we're going to have. And you know what this conversation's about? It's about sin. This conversation is about sin and your standing with God. And he says, not only are we going to have a time where we reason together in communication, not only is it a time where there must be understanding, but there must be unity. In other words, you're going to have to feel the same way about sin as I feel. You're going to have to come to the same conclusion that I have come to. That's what the Lord is saying. He's saying that we're going to reason, but we're going to reason together. And in our reasoning, you're going to have to say within your heart, I know that my sin, amen, has put a mark on my life. I know that sin is carrying me away from God. I know that sin, amen, has put a mark on me. And I can't do anything about it. I can't wash the mark off. I can't seemingly do enough good deeds or enough good works to cause it to fade and vanish. You're going to have to come to that conclusion with the Lord. Now I need you to listen to me. You're not going to do enough good deeds to get to heaven. You're not going to live righteous enough to get to the other side. Your mom and dad and the affiliation that you have with your family or a church is not going to secure a home in heaven when you die. And Jesus says, we're going to reason together. We're going to discuss the thing in your heart. And we understand that we're not sitting at a table, but it's the Spirit of God this morning that is working in your heart. It is the Holy Spirit of God that is dealing with your soul and working in your heart about your sin and the condition that you're in and the confusion. It's not confusing, amen. It is very convincing. It is very convincing when the Spirit of God deals with a man about sin. He does not offer confusion, but he's very convincing in declaring that man is separated from God and in sin and without hope. That's where I was at when God saved me. When God saved me, I'm telling you, sin had taken its toll in my life. But I'll be honest, when I got saved, I wasn't on skid row or facing time in jail. I had a wife. I had a newborn. Are you listening? I had 2 automobiles. I had a home to live in. I had a job. My bills were paid up to date. I wasn't facing some dreadful life-threatening disease. I had a lot of things, but one thing was missing, and that was peace in my heart and joy in my life. And I realized, amen, for the first time in my life, that all that the man of God had preached and told me for all these years was true. That there is no fulfillment found in the things that a man possesses in this life. Come now. Let us reason together. You want to get saved this morning? You're not going to get saved with question marks in your mind. The only way you're going to get saved this morning is having a complete understanding and in unity with the Lord Jesus when He deals with your heart about your soul. When He deals with your heart about your soul, and you can say, I feel condemned, I feel convicted. I'm lacking something, there's something missing in my life. The only way you're going to get saved when conviction by the Spirit of God is prompted in your heart is to agree with the conversation that's going on. Agree with the communication. Are you listening? Is everybody on the same page I'm on this morning? I mean, when the Lord dealt with your heart and is dealing with your heart this morning, and He unveils to you the condition your soul is in, the only way that you're going to get help in that reasoning that's going on is to agree with the condition that you're in. Amen. He says, we're going to have to, Brother Joe, come to an agreement. He said, let us reason together. Amen. He said, I'm the only one that can help you. I'm the only one that can give you eternal life. I'm the only one who can take the blood that I shed at Calvary and wash away your sins. I'm the only one that can fulfill your life. I'm the only one that can save you. Amen. And you're going to have to realize that it's me, O Lord, that needs help from God, beckoned by the King. The invitation is extended. Come now. A communication starts when that invitation, that outstretched hand of the Lord Jesus, reaches into your life to woo you and to bring you into Him, into His fold. There's a communication. Lastly, this morning, there's a change. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Sin, as the choir sang this morning and Jamie sang in the verses, sin puts a mark on our life. Amen. And you may cover it up in this life so that nobody could see, and nobody may ever see. No one may ever see the sin. You may cover it up well. But no matter how much you cover, how much you hide, how much you run, sin leaves a mark that when this invitation is extended, and when the reasoning and communication of the inward part of a man begins to, the Spirit of God begins to work and to move, you come to a fresh conclusion in your mind that sin has left a mark in my life. Sin has brought about a stain in my life, and it haunts you day in and day out. No matter where you turn, you see that preacher, you hear that message, you see that cross, that steeple, whatever the case may be, God, amen, uses things to prompt you to understand the condition that you are in. But He says, if you'll accept the invitation and you'll understand the urgency of it and come now, and agree with me, have an understanding of the condition that you're in, and we can, in a unified way, amen, realize that you're the one that's lost, and that I'm the Lord, and I have the means of help, and trust me with it, and believe me, and be willing to turn from your sin. He says, those sins that are scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. I tell you what, when I got saved, the burden of my past and the present sin that I was in, that haunted me and was so much a mark against me, vanished in a moment of time. I mean, when I submitted my heart unto the Lord Jesus, and I accepted the invitation as the King was beckoning me to come. And I realized that He loved me more than I could even love my own self. That He was more willing to save me than I was willing to get saved. And I agreed with Him. I said, Lord, I'm in a mess. He says, I know you're in a mess. I said, Lord, sin is destroying my life. He says, I know that sin is destroying your life. I said, Lord, I'm unhappy. The Lord says, this is the reasoning. Are you listening? He says, I know you're unhappy. Nothing seems to satisfy me, Lord. Nothing can satisfy you in this world. I am unfulfilled. I know you're unfulfilled. I cannot find peace. There is no peace. He said, my God, to the wicked, Lord, can you help me? I'm just waiting for you to ask that question. Amen. I'm the one that can help, thank God. I'm the one that will help. And I will give you life. And I will change you. I will turn you around. I will wash your sins away. The Bible said in Mark 1 that Jesus came to save men from their sins. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Beckoned by the King. The Lord wants to save you this morning. He said, preacher, I tell you what, I'm scared. There's no scarier place to be than lost. Amen. But if you want to get changed and enjoy peace, I extend an invitation to you this morning to reach out to Him who says, come now and let us reason together. You don't have to live another moment of your life in doubt or confusion. You don't have to take another step in this world without Christ being the Lord of your life. This morning, right now, while we are gathered in this building, Christ Jesus desires to save your soul and to give you eternal life. He came to save us from our sins. He came to change our lives. And the sin that has marked you can be taken away right now. And you can be washed whiter than snow.